Hi, welcome to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm your host, Tom Nielsen. Now, before we do anything today, I must share with you the fact that we're now in the month of June, which is officially National Dairy Month. And so that's the inspiration behind today's episode. So let us begin. You know, folks, every once in a while on this podcast, we delve into some old media history from the New York City metro area. And today is no exception. We're going to take a look back at one of my favorite subjects and how it's portrayed on radio, TV, and in the movies. And what is that subject, you ask? Well, it certainly ties into National Dairy Month, I can tell you that. Of course, as everyone knows, it's one of the most popular summertime desserts around. That cool, delightful, creamy concoction known as ice cream. Our story begins way back in elementary school. So picture this. You're sitting in the auditorium at Old Public School No. 4 in the small suburban town of Linden, New Jersey. And like every week before this, all of us grade school students are gathered there in some very uncomfortable wooden seats, ready for the school principal to introduce this week's school assembly program. I should mention that School 4 didn't have a real auditorium. Our gymnasium actually doubled as an auditorium. So whenever we had a school assembly, somebody had to set up all those folding wooden chairs right over the basketball court. So then they haul out the 16mm film projector, set it up in the middle of the gymnasium floor, bring out these World War II vintage loudspeakers, which kind of sounded like they'd already been through a few battles, and ultimately place them on both sides of the stage. As the very last step, somebody serving as a stagehand would then open the curtains so that the projection screen was now visible. Principal Lorenzo would come out to the microphone, tap on it a few times to make sure it was working.
Is this working?
And then proceed to tell us about today's attraction. But no matter how hard he tried, he never quite managed to come off as friendly and as warm and fuzzy as Walt Disney introducing the latest episode of Spin and Marty on TV. But I digress. Today's attraction was a 1940s vintage documentary on the subject of ice cream. Of course, we kids had already learned from experience that these old moth-bitten documentaries weren't as cool as we might have imagined. They had all this really old-fashioned industrial music and some ancient announcer who probably did funeral parlor commercials in his spare time. And the subject matter, no matter how exciting it may have sounded at first, usually wound up putting you to sleep in about 10 seconds flat. So let me give you a little taste of that particular day's documentary film. This was called The Story of Ice Cream, and it was put out by the Breyers Ice Cream Company to help sell their product.
Now let's take another trip. This time to see how ice cream is made. The story begins on farms like this one, where pedigreed stock all record milk producers provide the fine cream necessary for the best ice cream.
Really grabs your attention, right? Well, gang, that was what we had to contend with every Wednesday morning at Old Public School No. 4. As you've heard me mention before on this podcast, I actually grew up about a block away from a real dairy farm, where they made fresh ice cream, not some industrial version that Breyers was trying to palm off on a whole lot of uninformed customers. So on our way to school every morning, we saw the actual cows that put out the raw milk that they used to make the ice cream. So we really didn't need to be lectured on how ice cream was made. We already knew that. And we knew where to get it. Just head out to Lampert's Dairy Farm any day of the week for cups, cones, ice cream sundaes, milkshakes, and malts, the best around. Now, I should also mention that there were a few other companies who were also competing for our ice cream dollars at that time. Our neighborhood was on the route for the local Good Humor Man, who showed up almost every night at the same corner of Dill Avenue and Grant Street, right there at the fire hydrant. a little bit less often, you might also see a truck for Mr. Softy coming by occasionally. But back in those days, good humor definitely had the lock on our loyalty. Speaking of soft ice cream, though, we also had a small Carvel ice cream stand several blocks away on Route 1, just minutes from the Bayway Circle. Remember Carvel? Or more importantly, do you recall the company founder, Tom Carvel, doing his own commercials on radio and TV? Oh, he is a real stitch. I think he went to the same announcing school as Earl Scheib. Remember him? Earl Scheib, who did those awful auto painting commercials around the same time period. Here's a small sample of Tom Carvel on the air.
Whale of a cake for a whale of a dad. Your participating Carvel ice cream stores have Fudgy the Whale. You know, that's a beautiful whale ice cream cake. It's a Carvel ice cream cake. Yeah, and listen, this year, Fudgy, he comes with his own ocean. That's right. He has his own ice cream ocean that he swims in. Carvel ice cream, of course.
And some of you listeners may even recall the time that Carvel tried to sing his own jingle, live and in person, for the Channel 7 Eyewitness News team.
Now we make ice cream every day at Carvel. Yeah, we make it fresh every way at Carvel.
Well, that was Tom Carvel back in the good old days. And you know, despite those interesting homespun commercials of his, the company still managed to get around, even with that dubious marketing campaign. If you Google the latest numbers on the internet these days, you'll find that Carvel still has about 182 locations in New York, 50 locations in New Jersey, and about 243 locations in cities all around this great country of ours. So they didn't do too badly for themselves. Now, given all this in-depth background in ice cream that I managed to acquire in my early days, it was only natural that years later, when I was working at an advertising agency in Cleveland, Ohio, that I had the tremendous good fortune of working directly with a client that put all that good knowledge to use. It was a small company from the middle of Ohio called Smith's Dairy. In fact, they were known as the dairy in the country.
We're bringing the best of the heartland right to your door.
From Smith's, the dairy in the country.
And my job was to crank out creative ideas for their radio and TV commercials. Here's one example.
Fernbeck, what's this I hear about the art museum's newest attraction?
It's a controversial new piece in the modern art collection, sir.
What's it called? Who's the artist?
It's, Smith's Ice Cream, sir.
Smith's Ice Cream?
People are just flocking to see it.
Smith's Ice Cream?
A masterpiece of taste.
But I have to say, the most fun I ever had doing a Smith's Dairy commercial was the time we did a TV commercial for their new low-fat ice cream brand, Ruggles. Not only did I have to go out and do some shopping for special ice cream glassware, in other words, dessert dishes, which I found in a restaurant supply store in Cleveland, Ohio, but I also attended the taping session when the production house brought in a food stylist to prepare and sculpt the ice cream to artistic perfection. And since we had to do a number of takes to get the product looking as best as possible to the client's satisfaction, there was a lot of ice cream that otherwise would have gone to waste if it hadn't been shared with those of us on the production crew who eagerly gobbled it up between each take. Talk about calorie overload. I consumed so much ice cream that day, I couldn't even fit into my pants the following morning.
Oh my.
And yet, it didn't diminish my taste for ice cream in the slightest.
Wow.
And what was one of the other benefits of that particular ad assignment? Well, after the ice cream shoot was over, I also went home with some of the glassware as souvenirs, which is still in my cupboard to this very day. Every once in a while, we take it out to serve up a very special ice cream sundae dessert. And that's the scoop for today from this intrepid, whipped cream-covered reporter with a cherry on top.
Now, who's going to clean up all this whipped cream?
I will.
You've been listening to A Look Behind and Rewind. I'm Tom Nielsen. See you next time.
Hi, this is Tom Nielsen.
If you enjoyed this podcast, you're invited to hear more of our episodes at A Look Behind and Rewind. And feel free to share our link with friends, family, and others, as well as following us on Buzzsprout.com, Apple, Pandora, or wherever you get your podcasts.